Jean Diane Norris Dies by Gary Wunder. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Jean Diane Norris stands next to the Kenneth Jernigan Library for Blind Children sign in the front window of the American Action Fund office. How would the person most responsible for conceiving of, creating, and overseeing the production of the Twin Vision book describe her introduction to the blind people she would give so much of her life's energy to helping? There is no need to guess. Here is what she said about her reaction when seeing a notice in the newspaper about a rummage sale sponsored by the blind. I had never known any blind people, but I decided to gather up some rummage and go help. I discovered a group of normal folks whose only problem was that they could not see. Jean Diane Norris says herself that she had no experience with blindness, no reason to become interested in learning Braille. But from that first rummage sale, she made friends, and when she heard a friend saying how hard it was not to be able to read her children a bedtime story, she took on her friend's problem, and she found a solution. The LA Times obituary of Jean Norris quotes Laurie Rubin, an acclaimed mezzo-soprano and author, who received her first Twin Vision book in the 1980s at the age of 5. It was so nice that I could read along with my parents or brother. It made it a very normal experience. It didn't make me feel isolated. That was all Norris had set out to do, to give blind parents with sighted children and blind children with sighted parents the opportunity to do what any other family could, read together. It's no wonder that framed newspaper articles about her accomplishments hung on almost every wall in her house. She had goals and the determination to see them through. Norris says, the woman at the publisher of the Charlie Brown books told us that she liked the idea but could not give us any books. We kept going back. On the third contact, we got 6,000 books. Jean doesn't embellish the tale of getting permission to create Twin Vision versions of several Charlie Brown books, but took pride in what she had been able to accomplish. Last year, when she sent in her article, My Historic Recollections of the NFB, printed in the May 2013 edition of the Monitor, she enclosed a stack of photocopies which included pictures, awards, and articles about herself, the Twin Vision Project, and NFB members she had known. In the two large envelopes she sent was a copy of a letter she received from Charles Schultz, thanking her for the sample book she had sent him and pointing her to Determined Productions, the publisher who owned the rights for the Charlie Brown books. The first letter she received from that publisher gave her permission to make the Twin Vision books, but said they could not give her copies. The second letter accompanied an invoice documenting the first donation of 500 copies of Happiness is a Warm Puppy. The project director at Determined Productions was not the last to meet this kind but unstoppable force that was Jean Norris on a mission. Norris okayed Transcribing Seashells by R. Tucker Abbott, an authority on shells. Someone saw the book and notified the author, who wrote to Norris. He was very upset and wanted to know for how much they sold their versions of his book. She responded, explaining that the book was loaned free of charge and that it was being used to teach blind children about seashells. She received a second letter in which the author displayed a much different attitude. How wonderful! How many copies of the book do you want? Could I please have one for my library? After she sent him a copy, he wrote again, praising the Twin Vision version. Of course, that determination was sometimes tested when Jean Norris decided to make things happen. It took a visit to the Federal Building in Los Angeles to consult with the FBI and letters to the Treasury Department in Washington, D.C. to get an answer other than no in response to the request to produce The Shape of Things, Coins, a book representing, not surprisingly, the shapes of coins. Government agencies, always reluctant to take the lead on things never done before, ducked responsibility and jointly told her, "We won't say yes, but we aren't saying no." That was all the answer she needed, and The Shape of Things, Coins, was soon to be found under the fingers of blind readers. But the payoff from that effort was greater than the Trooper for Braille and Twin Vision could have anticipated. The appeal of the Twin Vision book wasn't limited to blind children. A review of The Shape of Things, Coins, appeared in a 1970 issue of Coin World, a magazine for numismatists, coin collectors. William Pettit, president of the Chicago Coin Club, governor of the Central States Numismatic Society, and member of the Education Committee of the American Numismatic Association, wrote to Norris with a request for a copy of the book. Because I am a frequent speaker in this area on coins, their history and uses, it would be of great interest to have a book showing the efforts made to acquaint the blind with coins and the apparent pitfalls to be encountered. Of course, sometimes getting permission and donations of books was much easier. Golden books were in high demand, and when Norris found out that the publisher had an office in Beverly Hills, she took a Twin Vision book and paid them a visit. She talked to a man named Robert E. Collender and began by pointing to the Braille and asking him if he knew what it was. Not only did he know, but he told Norris that his wife was a transcriber. He donated 50 books immediately and later donated over 1,000 more. He and his wife personally donated a check for $1,000 to support Norris's work. But it wasn't just creating Twin Vision books that gained her the respect of blind and sighted people alike. Norris had a long-time friendship with William Goetz, who repaired Brailers. When he decided to clear out his collection of Brailers, some very old, some from other countries, he called Norris first. She sent volunteers to pick them up and established the Goetz Museum. After William Goetz died, his son asked Norris if she would like to have his father's memorabilia, awards, pictures, letters, and other things he had treasured. She accepted and added them to the Goetz Museum, the contents of which she eventually donated to Dr. Maurer, who had them moved to the Tenbrook Library. With the determination she had used in her work with Twin Vision Books and many of the programs of the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, Jean Norris lived a long and fruitful life. She died on April 30, 2014, several hours after turning 96. She died at her home in Reseda, her son David by her side. She had served as the head of Twin Vision until her retirement in 2013, and her passing has been felt around the world. Not only has she had tributes from her home state of California and from the National Federation of the Blind, but her passing has been mentioned from as far away as Britain, where her many contributions made the news on the website of the Royal London Society for Blind. Jean Dian Norris's legacy lives on in the thousands of Twin Vision books that currently exist and the thousands more that have yet to be published, all because she sat down at her kitchen table with a slate, a stylus, an encyclopedia to show her the shapes of Braille letters, and a few of her son's old picture books. She started out to help one blind woman and ended her life with tens of thousands of blind and sighted people in her debt. Her work made it possible for families to share in the beauty of literature, whether perceived by the fingers or the eyes, and she helped countless men and women experience the joy of being read to and being able to read to others. One life does make a difference, and what a blessing God gave to the world when Jean Dian Norris came into it nearly a century ago. Consider a charitable gift. Making a charitable gift can be one of the most satisfying experiences in life. Each year, millions of people contribute their time, talent, and treasure to charitable organizations. When you plan for a gift to the National Federation of the Blind, you are not just making a donation, you are leaving a legacy that ensures a future for blind people throughout the country. Special giving programs are available through the National Federation of the Blind, NFB. Points to consider when making a gift to the National Federation of the Blind. Will my gift serve to advance the mission of the NFB? Am I giving the most appropriate asset? Have I selected the best way to make my gift? Have I considered the tax consequences of my gift? Have I sought counsel from a competent advisor? Have I talked to the NFB planned giving officer about my gift? Benefits of making a gift to the NFB. Helping the NFB fulfill its mission. Receiving income tax savings through a charitable deduction. Making capital gain tax savings on contribution of some appreciated gifts. Providing retained payments for the life of a donor or other beneficiaries. Eliminating federal estate tax in certain situations. Reducing estate settlement cost. Your gift will help us make the study of science and math a real possibility for blind children. Provide hope for seniors losing vision. Promote state and chapter programs and provide information that will educate blind people. Advance technology helpful to the blind. Create a state-of-the-art library on blindness. Train and inspire professionals working with the blind. Provide critical information to parents of blind children. Mentor blind people trying to find jobs. Your gift makes you a part of the NFB dream.